Well, I know that you're never gonna believe this, but when I was in high school, people used to call me weird. And you know what? They were right. I was pretty weird. I was the kid who read my Bible on the bus. Yeah. Looking back at that time in my life, I think part of the reason for my weirdness was like a kind of backwards teenage rebellion. You see, my parents always wanted me to have a lot of friends, to be the cool kid. But that just didn't seem like who I was. I kind of just marched to the beat of a different drummer. It's also weird using PowerPoint. It always is so weird. There we go. There we go. See, that's weird. Why did people invent this technology? I don't know. Why am I using it? I don't know. It's weird. So, I grew up in a small town. Like, it was about the size of Wheatley. It was called Mount Forest. And when you're driving into Mount Forest, you come up this steep hill, and the first thing you'd notice is this big water tower. And it had the town motto painted on it: high, healthy, and happy. And as the kids in my high school used to say, they're not referring to the elevation, right? Now, my town was known for having a pretty big drug problem, especially at the high school. Now, my parents, of course, they didn't know that. They were always bugging me to have more friends, and they'd be like, "Why aren't you hanging out with Betty? She's such a nice girl. She's the president of student council. You should hang out with her." And I'd be like, "Mom, you have no idea about the keggers that happen at Betty's house on Friday nights, do you? They're not the kind of people that you think they are." Well, let's just say that the student council kids definitely called me weird when I started up a high school Christian club. Yeah. My strange friends and I would get together over lunch hour in an empty classroom, and we would pray for each other and for our school. And you can imagine we didn't win a lot of popularity contests, but we did our best to be a safe and friendly, supportive kind of environment for each other in what was a pretty tough high school. And if people thought that was weird, well, you know what? We learn to be okay with that. If being weird means connecting with God and helping other people, call me weird. It's fun to be popular. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think that sometimes being faithful to God might mean looking a little bit weird to other people. And I think that that's something that we as Christians need to prepare ourselves for. Sometimes being faithful to God might look a little bit weird to the people around you. Now, this morning is the second Sunday of Lent, and that's the season that's coming up to Easter, when we focus ourselves on reminding and remembering what Jesus did for us, the new covenant that Jesus established with us, the new relationship with God that Jesus created for us. And on our scripture reading today, we see that Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples for something that he's getting ready to do. Jesus is about to do something that's going to look really, really weird to all the people around him. Now, it's not a surprise that Peter finds this idea pretty hard to accept. When Peter first signs up to follow Jesus, he thinks he's getting on the ground floor of something that's going to be huge, something about to go viral. For 3 years, Peter follows Jesus, and he watches as this small movement starts to grow and starts to build momentum and then starts growing even faster. Peter knows exactly who Jesus is, or at least he thinks he does. Peter's the first guy to say out loud what a lot of people are already thinking. This Jesus guy? This is the Messiah. This guy is the long-awaited king of the Jews. the guy who's finally coming that the prophets have been predicting for generations. The king is finally here, and he's about to claim his throne, throw off the chains of the Roman occupation, and restore the glories of Israel's golden age. In Peter's mind, Jesus is going to make Israel great again. But Peter hasn't yet figured out that God has a different kind of plan. Jesus tries to tell him this. He tries to prepare Peter for the challenges that lie ahead of him. But Peter isn't ready to hear it. Jesus starts to teach this amazing new movement is about to take a really unpopular turn. Jesus knows that he's about to undergo great suffering, to face rejection by Israel's leadership, and die. These crowds that are cheering him on today, they'll turn against him tomorrow. Jesus knows this, so he tries to prepare Peter for what's coming. But this guy just won't listen. Peter gets embarrassed by Jesus' negativity. He's like, "No way, Jesus, that's not gonna happen. Everybody loves you. You know, you've got what it takes. You're gonna go right to the top. This thing is about to blow up huge." But Jesus is like, "You're right. It is gonna blow up, but not the way you think." Jesus calls him out on it. He says, "Get behind me, Satan. You're setting your mind on human goals, not on God's goals." Jesus sees Peter cares more about being popular than about being faithful to God, and he calls him on it. You know, sometimes God's people can get caught up with being popular instead of being faithful. We all want to feel good. We all want to have lots of friends to feel like people like us and respect us. And those are good things to want. We look up to churches that are big and growing because it feels like growth means success. But it's easy to get sidetracked from God's plan by this line of thinking. Let's consider the example of a famous mega church in the U.S. called Willow Creek. Maybe you've heard of it. Willow Creek is known for developing what's called a seeker-sensitive model of church. They wanted to connect with their community, and so they decided to implement strategies from the business world in order to do that. Their pastors began to think of church members as customers, and they asked themselves, what kind of services do our customers expect from us? And so they created a massive multi-million dollar series of programs for people at every stage of life. And they put in expensive movie theater type seating into their sanctuary. They invested all kinds of money into stage lights and fancy technical equipment. And you know what? It worked. Willow Creek experienced massive church growth. I remember reading books written by their lead pastor, Bill Hybels. He became a leading expert on how to grow a church. He influenced a whole generation of church leaders, especially in the U.S., but here in Canada as well. Willow Creek became known as the coolest church in America, and other churches tried to replicate what they were doing so successfully. Now, after a few years of this, Willow Creek's leadership decided to do a study on their church members, and they found that they had exceptionally high attendance in church programs. But then the ball dropped. To their astonishment, they realized that higher program participation had not actually resulted in an increased level of spiritual maturity. More people were going to church more of the time, but spiritual growth just somehow wasn't happening. The church was a mile wide, but only an inch deep. Willow Creek's lead pastor, Bill Hybels, got up in front of his church, and he said this, some of the stuff that we've put millions of dollars into thinking it would really help our people to grow and develop spiritually, when the data actually came back, it wasn't helping people that much. Other things that we didn't put money into and didn't put much staff against is the stuff that our people are crying out for. We made a mistake. What we should have done when people crossed the line of faith and became Christians, we should have started telling people and teaching people that they have to take responsibility to become self-feeders. We should have gotten people, taught people how to read their Bible between services, how to do the spiritual practices much more aggressively on their own. And so Willow Creek began a process of learning how to become less cool. They started learning how to get back to the basic stuff, the free stuff, learning to do simple things like spend time in prayer, reading scripture, developing deeper relationships between people. Because that's what their research told them actually helped people to develop a mature Christian faith. And you know what? This is actually really great news for a smaller church like ours. Because we don't need a lot of money to do all of these things. Being faithful to God does not require a big budget and a big series of fancy programming. We already have everything that we need now in order to develop deeper spiritual lives. Being faithful to God is about being authentic. There are no easy shortcuts. You just have to put the hard work in, and it's not always going to be popular or fun or easy. There are some TV preacher types who will tell you that being a Christian should be all rainbows and unicorns, that if you're a believer in God, you should never experience sickness or sadness or suffering or pain. But don't believe that. It's a lie. Jesus warned Peter about this very clearly. It was hard for Peter to hear it at the time because everybody wants to have a fun life. We all want to feel good and be popular. But Jesus said there will be times when the crowds will turn against you, times when you feel low, and times when everything is just really hard. But those are the times that faithfulness matters. Everybody can believe in God when the sun is shining and the sky is blue, but when it's been raining for days and the ground turns into mud, that's when it really counts. It's great being a Christian when Christians are cool, but are you still prepared to call yourself one when nobody is looking? Or if people around you think that it's weird for you to be a Christian, what then? This is the world that our young adults live in today. If you're older than maybe 60 or so, you probably remember a time when going to choir practice was the trendy thing to do. It was a place all of your friends were going, and maybe you'd even see some cute potential dates there. If you missed church, you were missing out. But if you're maybe in your 40s or under, you're probably a lot more likely to have friends who think that it's weird that you go to church on Sundays. Why would you waste your time doing that? Maybe you've even had your friends tease you or give you a hard time about your choice to go to church. Or maybe your friends are people who would call themselves spiritual but not religious. If you can find meaning in your spirituality, that's great for you. But they're like, personally, I don't find much value in organized religion. But this is exactly why I'm so encouraged and amazed when younger people actually do come to church. Even if they do that a little bit less often than their grandparents did, I think it's pretty great when they show up at all. Because our culture today is really different than it was back in our grandparents' time. It's just not cool for young people to go to church these days. It's actually a sacrifice. So if you see somebody in this room who's under maybe 45 or 50 today, the chances are good that they're not here because this is where all their friends are. They're not here because it's easy. They're here because they made a difficult choice. Going to church was a sacrifice of time and energy for them. Maybe they chose to be here today instead of at a hockey arena or on a ski trip. The point is, when you see younger people in church today, it's because they're making an intentional choice to be here because it's something important to them. They're making an intentional choice to do something that looks weird to the people outside of these doors. So, yes, if you're going to church, you might be a little bit weird, but that's okay. Being weird can actually be a good thing. When you're a little bit different, people will notice you. And maybe they'll ask you questions, like, why do you do that? Why do you do that stuff? Why is it important for you to go to church? What's the value to you in doing that? And these questions can open up a door for you to share about what being a Christian means to you. It's an opportunity to talk with people about why God is important to you, why you choose to make your faith an important part of your life. Sometimes being faithful to God might mean looking a little bit weird to the people around you, and that's okay. Being weird might actually be a good thing. Maybe somebody else is out there who's looking for something different, something like what you have to offer. So today, if you feel like it's a little bit strange that you're here, you're totally normal. It is kind of weird, but that's a good thing. Let's celebrate that God brought us here together from all of our different walks of life to be a community together. And we already have everything that we need in order to be successful in our faith. And it's okay for us to be a little bit weird, because God can use that to reach out and connect with other people. Let's pray together. God, thank you. Thank you that it's okay for us to be a bit weird, for us to be different than everybody else. Thank you, God, that you can use that to help us to grow and for helping us to reach out and connect with other people. We give thanks to you, God. Help us to not be afraid to be who you have made us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.